Today we're going to speak about God's family. And we had a 9 o'clock service. Pastor Shabelli gave an introduction. And then after the morning service at 9, we just had a few words. And he said to have a good family life is related to having body life. Do you remember that, Pastor? So I'm going to bring you the mic. And you just say whatever you want, okay? That'll be our introduction. Whatever you want to do.
I was saying. There we go, okay. You read so often about dysfunctional families and things that are going on in this world today, and this life, and yet, like, the body of Christ is so important that being drawn to the body, so that I'm not literally overwhelmed or controlled by those things that are not going the way I think they should go in the family. And we pray that people would have a great family, but we just so often see there's so many situations that are going on, and that people can come to the church. And many people, the word church, ecclesia, means God calls you out. But many people understand church, but they don't understand body life. It's called the soma of God, the life of God, that we are actually his body. He's the head, and we're the body. And so church is much more than just an organizational meeting that takes place on a Sunday morning or Wednesday night or whenever, but it is really an organism. It's a living organism. And when I got a hold of that, when I understood that, I realized I don't want to miss a thing. I don't want to miss any service. I don't want to miss anything that's going on, because it's body life, it's life. Yeah. And you see it in the book of Acts, you see it in Ephesians. It's something, pray, because we're going to be going to China and India and do 5 conventions there, and their grasp of body life is the key in China and India to really what's going on. The key in missions is body life, bringing the body to let people see. A team of 12 going to Africa, they saw body life. And they were drawn into it, and they developed friendships and relationships that are eternal. So, amen.
Good word, yeah. Yes, yeah. What's the key to body life? But it's God. Without God, we have society, we have clubs, schools, organizations, and family. There are families without God, and they have their family life, but they don't have body life. Body life is the work of God in the world through us. But our God has to be the living God, not our concept of God, but God, the living God, the powerful, all-inclusive, the wise, the transcendent God. Not a little God that we make. There's a story about a man, an Indian tribe in Mexico, who was an idolater. And actually, I have it here. The missionary Cameron Townsend met him, and the Bible was translated into his language, the Tsachiquel Bible. That was the name of his language. And this man was converted. He burned his false gods, saying, "I served them all my life. I thought it was time they would serve me. So I made kindling wood out of them and cooked my beans." Thus the Tsachiquel Church was born. I burned my idols, cooked my beans with my gods, the ones that I served all my life, because I found God. There you go. That's important. I found God. Wow. Turn with me to Isaiah 44, please. Our first point is our family, the family of God, chapter 44, verse 8. Fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee from that time and have declared it? You are even my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any. This is God speaking. Yeah, almost like God looking around. Is there any other God? Is there any God like me? I don't know any. There isn't any. And we said in the morning message that everything that exists somehow is in a box or in a frame. Everything that is, not only materially, but conceptually. Mathematics is in a box, in a frame. My life is in a box, in a frame. My mind, my emotions, my family, my friends. Planet Earth is in a solar system, which is in a galaxy, which is in a universe. And the universe is in something. It's in God. It's in His frame. But who exists in the world that is not in any box? Yeah, just think about it. All these ideas. This is the secular world, by the way, the world of science and philosophy. They go beyond to the next box that the world, that study is in. They can't get beyond these boxes. They just learn more, understand another box, or understand the limitations. And actually, the world stops at times at this and says, this is God. This is it. This is God. Really? Then there is the realization that no. There was an Indian tribe in Peru. I think, I forget the name. I think they might have been the Inca. Inca in the 14th century. There was a leader who... they were worshiping the sun at the time, and the leader said, no, the sun is not God. And they said, why? Because the clouds can cover the sun, and the sun goes down and is gone and comes up in the morning. But God must be also in the nighttime. In other words, he was exploring the idea that was beyond the idea. And our God is beyond all of us and is not in any box. He transcends them and actually has ordained them. He is the creator. Are you following it with me? He is the creator, the wise master builder, the ultimate reality, the one that we are to know and follow, and the one that is ordained for us to be anointed by His Holy Spirit and understand things that delight our hearts. Because when we have found God, then our hearts are filled with joy and peace in realizing, we have come to the end. We have found Him. We are satisfied with His person. He is the transcendent one, that you cannot measure Him by any means. You cannot weigh Him in scales or put a measuring tape or a watch on Him. He is above and beyond it. He is God. And when God was saying to the Jewish people, because they lapsed into this idolatry, in other words, they were like here in a small world. We have a problem over here. I wanted to use it, and I'll just use it in a light way. If we could just move it out for me, and we'll use this to illustrate the principle. The Jewish people were have an amazing history. Amazing. Very small family. Go down to Egypt. Come multiply in large numbers, millions. And they come out of Egypt by God. God brought them out of Egypt. That's the story repeated again and again in the Psalms. And they were told to remember this, that they did not get out by swimming or boating or by any other thing, but God brought them out. And in a way, we could say the world that man lives in has these limitations, like in a room. And his natural life is like in a room. He has hurt, pain, personality, history, sin, his fears, worries, himself. We're all like this, of course. In a way, we could say we were in Egypt, and there wasn't anything but a promise from years ago, 400 years ago, a promise that we would come out of Egypt. This was given to Abraham in Genesis 15. That God, who called Abraham our father, would bring us out of Egypt. And Joseph, at the end of his life, he said that God would visit the people, that it would happen. And when it happens, bring my bones out of Egypt, Joseph said. And if you hear the story, you realize that God wants these people to know him above and beyond themselves. And this is actually body life. Body life is when we, by the Spirit of God, walk in the liberty and the newness of what it is that we've been given. We've come beyond ourselves into the Holy Spirit's presence and realize that our God is the living God and set us free from ourselves. And we have a connection with each other. You know what I know? Do you see what I see? And many, to be honest, when I first started coming to the church, I did not see it. Pastor Shibeli said it this morning also, that he did not see it. We did not know what it was. But we knew that he and his church, the Bible Speaks Church, and I and another one, and we all have our story. But it was something that a man cannot do, but something that the Spirit of God does. Something that is given to every believer is the fellowship with the living God that gets us beyond the boxes of how we understand our lives. Like, for example, I'm in this, you don't know my past. I don't belong here. You don't know how much I have hurt people. You do not know how many things that I have done. How bad, for example. You do not realize, and all this type of talking. And we say, yeah, we understand. But this is why Jesus came. And by the way, when Jesus came, this is what he was doing all the time. He was like understanding people that are in this, and he's calling them out. And he's saying, you can't walk on water, but I can. You know, you think God is against you. You are a prostitute, and you know that God, that your life is not, that you are disappointed with yourself. But I have called you, and I have something that the world cannot give you. You know, there's a reaction in our country about the secularism of our culture and the direction of our secular world. I think you could say there are the secular police out there that are making sure that you are speaking in an appropriate way according to the secular ideas. What they are saying is true, or what they are saying is right and what is wrong. And I recognize it. I think we do in some measure. But what if I say things that are out of the box? What if I say things that are just like on the heart of God? What if the secular world is saying, you know, you can't say that? And what if we say, well, I am not fighting against you. I am just saying something that is so liberating, that is said in love, that is said that stretches our imagination and our thought life to realize that, oh, I am not worshiping those idols. I am now cooking my beans with what I once worshiped. That is that I am not serving that. It is serving me. I have found a way. For Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Body life is a fellowship in Him and His holiness. The holiness of God is so important. This is what's the problem in these little boxes. Let's say the communist world, which through the years many of us were there and lived there and understand it, atheism and so on, you get tired of it. It's a small place. And yet it prepares the heart to ask the question, is there God? One of our friends, he's a pastor in Russia, Pastor Gromov, was at a university in the, let's see, I think it was in the early 70s in Siberia, in a university. And I asked him about the Soviet times and learned things here and there from interviewing these people. And I said, did you have assembly meetings in the university? He said, yes, the students came together. How many? I don't remember, it was 800. I don't remember, a large assembly hall. And did they, would tell me something about the assembly? What did they say? He said, well, there was one I remembered that was mocking the Bible. And I said, well, what did he say? He said that the Adam gave names to all the animals, and he took a worm and he said, worm. And then everybody in the assembly laughed. How ridiculous, how foolish, how stupid, or whatever they are thinking. But he said, but me, I was interested in that. It was like something planted in my heart. I wanted to read the Bible, but I couldn't find one. Then after he graduated, he had the opportunity of being a translator, or go to Oxford University, to the university there, or he could be a military translator in Egypt. And he chose that one, to be a translator in the English language in Egypt for the military. And in Egypt, he could buy some books, and he bought a book. He had a bookshelf. And then when he was going back to the Soviet Union, he had to have all the books recorded. And they had to filter out the books. He said, I could take all the books back to the Soviet Union except the Bible. Then in the Soviet Union, he met Pastor Mati on an airplane. Pastor Monty said, "Could I do anything for you?" He said, "Yes, I would like a Bible." The next day, they met, he brought him the Bible. He started to read it. What I'm saying is, under communism, they made sure that you stayed in this. But they didn't realize the hunger that people have for, is there more? Him that is beyond the box, the living God, the God that came in Christ Jesus and walked on water, the God that gave us this book, which is so exciting and so satisfying, the God that could face an enemy, ask a question. He never used a sword. Isn't that fascinating? He never got in a fist fight. He never started railing against railing. He never got down in the mud and the dirt and started to fight with people. He didn't need to. His gentleness, his words, his spirit, his convincing nature, his way of life was a mystery to Pontius Pilate, mystery to the centurion at the cross, mystery to Nicodemus at night. He was a mystery to the woman at the well, to Zacchaeus in the tree. And can't we say, here it is, can't we say that the reason that God has called you out is to put you in himself so that we would be here with a message and a love and a spirit that we would say, I realize in my heart that I love God. I love God. Yeah, the living God. Lord, you know how I put you in these, you know, package you, you know, we do. But then we are so thrilled when you reveal yourself to us. Manifest yourself. Show us who you are. So that brings us to our text today. So turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We started a series on the family and said that we are in the family, and the families have distinctives. When you think of an earthly family, you have a name, a father, mother. You have distinctives that make your family what it is. And we paralleled that with God's family. That's us. He is our Heavenly Father. He has given us the Son of God as our big brother, our Savior, and our God, our living God, Christ. Then he gave us the Holy Spirit, and then the Word that is imparted to us in the living room of God, the body. He gave us pastor, teacher that stands in front, and then we hear the voice behind, Isaiah 30, verse 20. We hear the voice behind the Spirit of God speak to us and give us direction and guidance. And then in verse chapter 12 and verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. So there's where we will stop for a moment. Different gifts. We were at a birthday party yesterday for Dan Lightsey, Pastor Lightsey, and at the Pizza John restaurant and in the back room or side room, and maybe 40 people and three or four generations of people. Pastor Dan is 80 years old. We've known him for decades, and he has a beautiful spirit, and his wife Sandy. They have served God like just beautifully as body members. It was a lot of fun, very free, a lot of joy, eating, talking, that buzz that goes on in the room, the relationships. I don't know all that, we may not know all people one way, but we know them this way, that we are recognizing gifts in the body, recognizing the spirit moving, the anointing, kindness, gentleness, care, severity, seriousness, wisdom, faith, healings, discipleship, many gifts, not just gifts that are here on the platform, which we recognize, but gifts in the body, all of us having gifts. 19 of them are mentioned in our New Testament, and some Bible teachers say there are more, and various combinations of gifts that God gives in the church. And it's fun to read about them. People that live and use their gift, the Spirit using them in their life. Like, my life can be kind of narrow and boring without the gifts operating in my life. My gifts are a way of edification. They edify me, and they also edify the body. And if you're a body member and you have gifts, but you're not using them, then you're missing out on something in your life. Let me repeat it. If you're a body member and you have gifts, then you could say, you know, I just go to the church and I'm gone. I go to the church, I'm not there. But you can be there by using your gifts. And the many gifts, and they are listed here. I can be there in my heart attitude because there is an excellent way. In verse 31, the excellent way is love, including people in my heart. Like we see parents caring for their children. Look at, I'm at home, my life at home, and it could be a small world, or it could be I have the Holy Spirit in my heart, in my life, I bring it home, and at home I have more than just my home. I have a calling and a purpose. I have gifts that operate in the body, and they also operate at home. They operate in my life when I'm going to work, I'm coming home. I have gifts that operate, gifts of faith, gifts of mercy, gifts of knowledge. There are times when you can read the Bible and it stirs your spirit, and you are stirred in the spirit. It may be you have a gift of wisdom. You're stirred in your spirit in love, loving people. And it's a decision. I am loving people. I'm loving people I don't know. I'm loving people. I don't have any real relationship with them in a practical way. But I don't have to, because I love them in my heart. I'm loving people I don't know. My life becomes actually better and bigger. And when I am home, actually, I have more to share, more to be. I have a bigger world and a bigger heart because I am a member of his body. Look at chapter 12 and verse 13 with that in mind. Verse 13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles. whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one spirit. Have you ever noticed how we don't know who is a Jew and who is a Gentile here? Are we talking about that? Have you ever noticed we are not really talking about our level of education? He is educated, he is not. Or what part of town you live in? That do you live in that part of town or do you live in that part of town? Does it matter to us? It doesn't matter. Because God is at the heart of our fellowship. And with God, there is not any Jew or Gentile, bond or free. But the fellowship in the first century, it was to be slaves and free men were in the same fellowship. We could say in our immigrants and natives are in the same fellowship. People that are old or young, we are in the same fellowship. People that have this name or that name, it doesn't matter to us. We are drinking the same spirit. For our God is our Heavenly Father. And He has called us out beyond ourselves. Set me on a rock higher than myself. This happens, by the way. You might say, no, I have these bad habits and I can't get rid of them. And the Lord is saying, hello. You may not believe it, but I can take your tobacco away. I can take away your addiction. I can take away your pain. I can take away your bad habit. I can take away your cursing and swearing. I can take away your pornography or I can take away what you're lying or stealing. I can take away. I am God and I have you drink the same spirit. And in drinking the spirit, our hearts are stirred to faith. A young man could say, I don't know what it is in my heart, but I'm hungry for God in my heart. Another young man says, I don't know what you're talking about. I just came here. I'm coming here a little bit, and I'm gone. I can come and go. It doesn't matter to me. But another man is saying, oh, no, I have found God in my life. I have found something. You cannot drag me away with a team of horses. I am here. I love it. I love the Word. What's the difference between the two? I have been in both. I know it. I have been in both. I could easily walk away from the church. There was a period of time that was very easy to go away from the church, but I didn't. I guess it was just faith. God calls us to faith. And then it wasn't long. My heart started to burn with me. I started to listen. And as I listened, I started to realize I saw the teacher in front of me, but I started to realize that God was speaking to me, and my heart was strangely warmed. It was like different. It was staying there. You know how you could go watch a movie, and it was like, oh, very good, and then afterwards, like, there's no effect? It doesn't mean it. Go to lunch, oh, very good, and there's no effect? It just is over and gone. But this was different for me. It stayed there. It was like months. It was like moving in my spirit. It was like God was calling me to a deeper life. God was calling me to follow Him and trust Him. I started to see Jesus as being everything for me. What about a girlfriend? Do you have a girlfriend? I don't know about that. I've got God. Honestly, it's like that. Well, what about all of your the stuff in your life? I don't know. I don't care so much. It's not that. I have found God, and I'm following God, And God is moving in my heart, and I'm coming back to the meeting. When are you coming back? In a week? No, could I come? Is there anything before the week is over? Yes, we have Wednesday night service. I'll be there. And what about, is there any more? And then the pastor, after speaking, we would be hanging around and I'm listening and waiting for him to say something. And then there would be a little bit of music, some spontaneous little group of people singing, and there was gifts. Then the pastor said, we're going to go into all the world with the gospel. And the same thing happening here will happen in other countries. And I would say, yeah, that's amazing. I mean, that was how our Bible school started more than 40 years ago. Gifts, Spirit, God did it. God did that. God is doing it. God is doing the same thing. And you might say, oh, Pastor, I don't know about what you're talking about. You can't believe my stuff in my life, my things in my life. And we say, we understand. But give God a chance. Be patient. He is with you. Listen to him. Follow him. Make him high priority. Bank on him. Give him your heart. Trust him. He is good. He is God. He is able. Yeah. Look at the next part here. It says in chapter 13, he's made us drink into one spirit, for the body is not one member, but many. It'd be pretty boring if it was just you and me, one-on-one, but or just me, or just you, or one person. But imagine all the members of the body. Imagine. We drink the same Spirit. There are many members, many parts. God is three, but he is one. We are many, but we are one. How many are here today? One. There is one here today. God is here, and we are members of him. We have many parts and many expressions. And learn in the body of Christ. Learn. This is the highest education. This is the education that comes from God. I believe if the secular world continues to go that it goes its way, this place will be more and more hunger, where people will say, is there anything more? Is there anything more? I am brokenhearted. I don't have a family. I don't have much. I got my stuff and my trouble, and I'm looking for a release. I'm looking for, I go to get the entertainment, but it comes flat, a merry heart, a laughter. It leaves me, I laugh, but then after the laughter, I have my sorrow. My sorrow is not taken away. I will laugh at the party, ha 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 ha, and then I walk home like this, unless I'm drunk, and I can't walk as straight as that. The heart of man is designed for God. And you and I are the expression of God on the earth. You and I have the wisdom of God. That's why we come and assemble to open this amazing book. How about love? Look at the more excellent way in chapter 13, agape love. If we were to look at that chapter, we'll finish up in a few minutes, but listen. If agape love, if you read that chapter, you can't put it in a box. Agape love doesn't go in a box. It just goes beyond. It says it never fails. Whew, what? Love never fails. Whoa. Bears things. Yeah, but there's limitation. Bears all things. Endures all things. Wow. Suffers long. Love. If love is in our heart and we are learning love, then we love. It just is love. Love is in our heart because God is love. Love is the thing that you can't. I mean, the love here is this kind of love. I love you. But do you love me? No, I don't really love. Well, then I don't love you. I forgive you. Do you forgive me? No, I don't forgive you. Well, then I don't forgive you either. Huh? Can we understand that? I mean, this life that Jesus Christ came to give us, old things are passed away, all things become new. There's a new mind, new spirit, and there is love. And it goes like this, I love you, yeah, but I hate your guts. Well, that doesn't change the love I have for you. Well, you know, I love you. I mean, that's in my heart. We may not spend vacation together. We might not be hanging out together, but I tell you that when I go to sleep at night, I have nothing in my heart except love for you and for your best. That your sin will drag you down. Your problems will devour you. I'm sorry for that. You don't say that to the person if they hate you. There's hardly any communication, you know. Sounds like you're trying to up one, you know, up them one. You know, I'm not saying that. You're not preaching to them. It's what is in your heart. That's the thing that God has given us this life where the God has no box that transcends it all, has come into this world and has told us, these words have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome. I have overcome the world. I am the freedom you are looking for, the joy that is guaranteed to you, the mind that has set you free, and the truth that liberates you in your spirit. The world that goes on and on. It says this government of this kingdom has no end. That one does. The government of Christ is on his shoulder. The answer for your troubles in your life is him. You might say, okay, I will accept it and try it for 2 years. If it doesn't work out, then I'm done. Can you grasp that? Sure I can. That's this world over here. You know, okay, if it works, then, you know, I will accept it. God doesn't, he says, you know, I don't make any deal with you. I cut no deals with you. I crucify you. I don't negotiate with Adam. I don't have any deals with Adam. You are in the flesh. This is interesting. There are people that are Christians that are in the flesh and they don't know it. There are Christians that have a mentality that is in the flesh and they don't realize it. Their study of this and understanding of it by the Spirit is very limited. And that's why I'm talking to you straight up today and telling you that's true about you. That we have very limited mindset in regards to what I'm talking about today. We may know the ABCs of the gospel. We might say, yeah, I got to know the Bible. Yes, I should pray more. Any number of those kind of Christian ideas. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a very real life where God has transformed, affected us, and we are drinking the same Spirit and learning how to think with him. And when you start to think with God, when you go home, you end up having a capability of saying, that's okay, Jimmy, Johnny, mom, dad, sister, brother, it's okay. I'm cool. It's all right. Everything's God's in it all. That's all right. You don't have to change. There's nothing here. I mean, you're able to manifest something. The peace, the joy, the quietness, the capability of handling stress, the wisdom of being quiet, the wisdom of being prayerful, the wisdom of waiting upon God, the wisdom of love, the wisdom of joy, the wisdom of investment, the wisdom of simply being a godly person in the presence of your enemies, God preparing a table for us. My cup is overflowing. The cup overflowing in the house, at the university, at the working place. My cup is overflowing so that people will somehow, maybe they will say, they may not. The God of this world has blinded the minds of them that do not believe in 2 Corinthians 4:4. But if some people in 1 Corinthians 14 will say, listen to this, verse 24, 1 Corinthians 14:24. But if all prophecy and there come in one that believes not or unlearned, it means that they come into a meeting like this. They come in, they're not believers and they're unlearned, and he's convinced of all. When he sees this, he realizes there's something going on and the secrets of his heart are made manifest. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. There is such a thing where an unbeliever or he that is not believing would come and witness the singing, the peace, the joy. Many times after our service is over that we just hang out, we're around because we're body members, get to know each other, linger a little, have a coffee, talk, get to know people. We have fellowship in the cafe at night service. We are here later having a wrap, getting to know each other. Some come during the week at the lunch wrap, and they listen on radio to Grace Hour at 1 o'clock live here in Baltimore, 1 to 1:30 on the internet, 1 to 2. And we are body members. Some go on mission teams. I travel a lot. Pastor Shabelli travels a lot. Many you are welcome if you can do it. You want to go. It may work for you in your schedule. Here in Baltimore, Saturday, we meet here and we go out knocking on doors, visiting people and talking and caring. Some pray in the prayer room. Some are simply at home, praying and living in faith as precious people. And this is how it works. And I think that's clear to you. If God is God, he says, is there another God? I know not any. And if he has sent his son to challenge us and to speak to us and draw us, and we come to him by faith that he sends his spirit into us and we have fellowship this way, and he manifests himself here amongst us, and we say, surely of a truth, God is in you. And I am seeing and realizing you are different. You're not in the boxes. There's something more that transcends. There is love, there is wisdom, there is Christ amongst us. Okay, that's amazing. Okay, would you pray with me, please? Don't leave it. Don't leave the church. So many come and they go. Don't leave. Stay. Trust. Believe. Jesus will take and guide you and lead you. Learn how to feed your own soul at home. Learn how to listen to Christian music. Learn how to be involved. Learn how to participate. Learn how to receive. If you receive, then you'll be able to give. So receive. Say to Jesus today, if you are not a believer, say to Jesus today, Lord, I am not a believer in you, but I want to be. I come by faith. I ask you, Jesus, to show me. In a way, I am a believer, but I'm a weak one. I'm coming for the first time. I'm putting my trust in you. I want my life to be changed by your grace. I want my sins taken away, not only my past sins, but I ask that you would deal with my sin nature at the cross. I want to be free from sin. I want to be free from myself. I want to be free from the fear and the guilt that happens in life. I want to grow in it. I want to know who you are. I want Jesus to be real in my life 24/7. That's my prayer, Lord. I ask it by faith today. Save me, that I would be born again today, born again of the Spirit, born again by your grace. And then just say that to him, and then raise your hand. You're saying that prayer, Jesus, save me today, anyone. Save me, anyone, please. Say the prayer to him. Yes, save me, anyone. Just raise your hand. Yes, to Lord. Raise your hand and put it up. I think there's a hand over there. Anyone else? Thank you, Lord. Anyone else? Yes, Lord, give us souls, really, God, in these days. Anyone else? Save me, Lord, in Jesus' name. Yes, Lord. Thank you for body life, what it means in Christ's name. Amen.